eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
God bless you. I love you, buddy. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, and I'll just look right into his word. I can find him there, can't you? And good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody out. We're glad to have our newcomer among us tonight. She's not a visitor. She's a newcomer to get her start here, and that's real good coming into the world there Monday. And night about 9 or something like that, and now already in church. So that's a good way to do. Put them there and raise them in the Lord. We're glad to have it. Amen. Remember, our Bible study will not be coming this coming Saturday night. It'll be the second Saturday. All right, Bible study second Saturday for this month. All right, remember that now. So remember, then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday of November. Now, so keep these announcements in mind that the Lord would bless. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1, where we've been reading, and then we'll go to Revelation 6. And just, we say to all of those that are viewing tonight, just welcome. Some of them said they would be connecting on, it'll be gone. So we pray that the Lord will bless you and give you a good vacation and good time or whatever. And then all those that are connecting on around the country, even to the sister that said I was a mean old dirty dude, but anyhow, that was all right. Maybe she didn't use the word dirty because she hadn't seen me. She didn't know that part, but that's good. We all got a good life out of that, sis. I hope you're listening tonight and you can get one too. Amen? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things. Thank you most of all for your love and your grace unto us. Because without that, where would we be? We wouldn't be worth nothing. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would just come on the scene and help us. You give us understanding ears that we may hear and that we may speak what you would bring upon our minds to say to your people, and that it would be quickened into our hearts and our lives, that we may see ourselves and not look somewhere else. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless those that are not here. Be with each one. Remember the sick among us. And just let your light shine in our hearts. As we read your word, you come and you speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Time to understand. Now let's go over to Revelations 6, and we'll read verse 7 and 8, starting on the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've getting on over kind of in our studies and talking on these things of the seals and things. And just remember now what we've tried to bring, and we won't get as much to it tonight, but we'll, the Lord willing, Sunday we will get on to trying to tie together some things. But I'm trying to hold a point up for you to remember that the seals, they are to Israel. Because they take place between Revelation 6 and then going on into Revelation 8:1 for the seventh seal. The literal things that take place there are to Israel. Right. Now, we don't want to be there when the sixth seal opens, right? We don't want to be there when the fifth seal's opened. We don't want to be there for these. We'll see Sunday. We certainly don't want to be there in the opening of the fourth seal when it would terminate at Armageddon. So then the literal happening of the seals are to Israel. Right. But the revealed word is to the bride of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, the revealing of the seals, the bringing of the seals, that's why you'd say, well, why did it come in our day? Because it would bring the mystery of redemption.
That's right.
And see, God sent us a prophet, as we'll get back to the end of the message this evening, Lord willing. He sent us a prophet that we would be able to see what these mysteries are, to be able to read them. And the seals, as we'll read one in a minute, the prophet said it shows what has been, what is, and what will be to come, you know. All right? Then we've studied so far and found out these seals even started back in Genesis. And work their way all the way through the Bible. But the reality of those things, the things that you know, the bringing forth of the things that we read under this is coming on over after we get out of here, and it will be to Israel.
Amen.
But what a wonderful thing to be able to stand here and see it. Amen. Before it takes place. What about a people that we can stand here because of the message of the hour, we can go all the way back to Genesis and we can see what happened there. All right?
Amen.
We can come all the way through and see what's taken place.
That's right.
And we can even go on past our time and see what will happen to Israel.
Right.
And go on to seeing the millennium and how it'll take place. And seeing the future home and all of those things while we're still here on earth. There's a lot of these things that we're speaking of, see, will be after we get out of here, but we can see them while we're here.
Amen.
I mean, that's the part I've been trying to get across to you. It's been with me for about 40 years that I've been trying to make that statement, and it seems so hard for people because they'll say, But Brother Dale, I thought we got the seals. We do by revelation.
Right.
We get the revelation of the Word of God. We don't get the tribulation, right?
Right.
We don't go to the tribulation, right? But we know that what will take place,
right,
because it's been made known to us by the end time prophet. And that's what we'll get down to the end in a little bit of understanding to see the point. But we look at it and see the opening of the Word. You know, the Word being open to you and I. And you know, that to me is a wonderful thing. And I was talking with somebody there the other day, and you know, I told him, I said, you know, it's so amazing how the Bible is written. You know, it's written for every age that would ever be in the world. Martin Luther could read the Bible and he would understand things for his day and time. But he wouldn't understand what we understand. But we better not come up with understanding something he didn't understand. You know what I mean by that, you know? In other words, he'd understand something entirely different. Now, we're not talking about the things of his natural life and the doings that he done. We're talking about the message he brought. The message of the just shall live by faith. That is actually those there in Revelation, the three angels coming across is bringing it forth as the message upon the earth. And what about a wonderful thing that we can stand here and agree with what Martin Luther said about the just shall live by faith. And we don't have to deny that. And we don't have to say, as a lot of people in the message say, well, Luther and Wesley and them didn't have nothing. Well, if they didn't have nothing, then we sure were. What are we standing on? You know. I mean, but the Bible is so beautiful and perfect. But here we stand in the middle of it, being the bride of Jesus Christ, and can understand the whole Word of God, all the way from the beginning to the ending, while we're still here. And you know what that's going to do? That in itself is going to change you and I to take us out of here. See, that's why it couldn't happen until the end time. We'll read in a minute. We read here about, you know, his name that said on him was death. Well, see, the prophet said even to the lion, the ox, the man, even in those days, they didn't understand it was death. But he said it was death from the beginning. It was death from the beginning. But you see, it's in the deception. And that's what I'm wanting us not to do, is to be deceived. You know, and get caught up in the deception of things and just kind of, you know, well, Brother Dale, he keeps on about the seals is to Israel. Well, I've heard all of my life they was to the bride. Well, they are. The revelation of it is to you. We even understand the white throne judgment. You certainly don't want to go there, do you? But we understand it. Why? Because it's been told to us through the opening of the Word. Right. But see, just get the point now of what we've been trying to say. And we've been studying up through here and taking that it was the same rider on each one of the horses. He changed, but the horse changed colors, you know, representing what would be in that time. But it's the same rider. It's the same devil. All right? Being exposed by the Word. Now, I know people don't like me even the way I talk, but just get what I'm saying and you'll understand it. The Bible.
That's right.
It's revealing Jesus Christ. We've read that 37 times, because this is the 37th message that I've read, 1 through 3, that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible is revealing Jesus Christ. By revealing Christ to you and I, it's exposing Satan.
Right.
In his tactics and his ways. So it's not revealing him. He's not something that can be revealed. God can be revealed, but Satan will one day become extinct.
Amen.
Totally annihilated.
Yes,
you agree with that? The Bible says he will.
Amen.
Well, if that's true, then how could it be a revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ is never ending.
Right.
It's exposing Satan
right.
for what he is. And the way he's deceived the people, and you remember what we're bringing out Sunday? That white horse rider kept riding. It's still here now. It didn't just blow up and go out of existence. Kept right on going. He got off and got on another horse, red. He rode that horse through the blood and got off to get on the black. That red horse is just red. See, the black horse goes right on through. And you'll see the reason that I keep saying that, because if that was not so, how would you wind up with the pale horse? Because the pale horse would be the white, the red, the black, all mixed together, which is governmental powers, religious powers, and demon powers. All mixed together. And come out as a pale horse.
Right.
I was that the other day, and this, I'll get back into the message with it. But we can see the red, the black in the things, you know, the red being the blood and all of the killings. And the 68 million being killed, you know, and more of that. But then see the black horse to be the Dark Ages as it come down through, you know, in time, the 1,000 years of where the Catholics ruled the world. All right. But then to think about a pale horse. Why would it be in symbolic of a pale horse? That gives us something to think about. A pale horse. Yeah, you say, well, you mix the white, the red, the black, and you get pale. Okay, all right. You mix all of his powers together and you come out. But I think it's got a whole lot of deeper meaning to it. I believe it's pale because God is going to let us know how it's destroyed. This beast will be destroyed.
Amen.
This pale horse will be destroyed. This system will eventually be destroyed. It was not destroyed down through time. But it will be destroyed. So it's not just stopping on a symbol of a killings or a dark age. It's a pale horse. Sickly, pale horse. It's death, as we'll get to it in a minute. But you know, death one day will be annihilated.
Amen.
For everybody.
Amen.
That's why it's pale. I was praying another day about it. I thought, Lord, and I know the symbols and the things the prophet said, but I was praying, Lord, why does it wind up a pale horse? I can understand the mixture of the white, the red, the black, you know, and get you colors and whatever you want. But why would it wind up pale, Lord? Because you see, he's going to destroy. This seal is going to show us death destroyed.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So now that's what I'm trying to get to, so that'll maybe make you interested in listening for a while and read what the prophet has to say upon these things. Now, I keep giving this quote back to you. Go ahead with number one, Brother Anderson. I keep bringing this one back because of the purpose that I want it to be brought. God's mathematics is 3, but Satan's mathematics is 4. All right? So what is he? First, Antichrist, white. Second, false prophet, red. Third, viper of heavens and earth in purgatory, which is black. And fourth, the beast, the pale horse. And notice what he says. This is the end of the message, and I know this will probably be Sunday morning, but look what he says when he gets to the pale horse. If you think we're going to be over there when the seals break, you better start reading a lot. If you remember the Daniel 70 weeks, Brother Branham said you will miss the seals, you'll miss the red dragon, you'll miss the casting out and all of the things. You'll miss Revelations 12.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
So look what he says. Satan being kicked out of heaven.
Amen.
Now he goes into the fourth seal. Satan, B-E-I-N-G. Being kicked out of heaven.
Right.
Now we get over after a while in the message and read it. We go up, he comes down.
Right. Yeah.
We don't want to be there when that beast takes place. But if we are, we've done missed the rapture, we're in the tribulation period. And that's what I've tried to prove to you, to show you. Then, if we get time, we'll get this scripture. Revelation 13. But notice when Brother Branham is bringing down the course of the horses, when he comes to the fourth, the beast, the pale horse, Satan being kicked out of heaven. Now, what causes him to be kicked out of heaven? Okay. So I said, you might be interested to keep reading these things. And when I keep bringing a quote over and over and over again, you better believe that it's got a purpose behind it. All right? So I'd keep reading those things. And I would go, if I were you, and I would read, if I don't get to it tonight, I would read Revelations, the 12th chapter. And he gives the 13th verse. Satan being kicked out of heaven. Then in Revelations 13, 1 through 8, he is incarnate in the person of the beast. All right? When he's kicked out of heaven. You remember what I've always told you? He can't be the beast until we get out of here. He can't be the beast until you and I leave. Huh? So maybe it'll start dawning on you that the seals and the literal happening, when he's kicked out of heaven, we better be the reason he's kicked out. Because he's kicked out as we go up. What a wonderful thing to think about. I didn't mean to go this way, but that's all right. God will allow him to come up there and talk with him. Come on. He was talking to him in the book of Job. Where have you been? He said, walking to and fro on the earth. He got an audience with God. But you show me where he's ever back in heaven when the bride gets there. So I'd begin to believe, if I was you, that maybe she might be and have a part of kicking him out. I'd consider that point. Can let that ponder in your mind. Because that's the way I do. If you wonder how I get things or what it comes, you know, I'll wake up in the night and I'll just be praying and laying there. And, you know, I'm just like everybody else. And I'd say, well, Lord, why is it a pale horse? I can understand the white, the black, and the white, the red, the black. But why didn't it turn out to be a green or a purple or a yellow or something? You're going to find out we got something to do with this. We got something to do with this. Just don't put us there when the thing starts taking place. We're going to be in heaven when Armageddon strikes here on earth. If we're not in heaven when that happens, you better believe, you better find you a place to hide in a hurry. And it won't do you any good. Think on these things. Go ahead with number two. We've used this in a few times. I want you to get the point. Paragraph 194. So I keep giving these back because if you notice, a lot of this, see folks, the people are out there on the internet, they may, some of them don't even have the books. You know. And Brother Reed told me years ago, he said, Brother Dale, remember those people out there don't know what y'all know. Try to back up and cover as much as you can. He said, I know it's hard to do, but because they're watching. And then when we get reports like I did the other day from that sister, that she just took the message and just tied it together from some of the sermons I'd preached and brought it right down to what I'm talking about. Maybe she don't sleep, you know, whatever. But listen. Watch, rides a pale horse, paragraph 194, the fourth seal, on his ride. This last ride. Now, there's not another beast in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. And there's not another combat beast in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. Now, I'm not saying Satan won't be there, because he's going to be in a tribulation and be wiped out and all that. I'm just saying there's not another form. Death is the highest you can go. There is no other place to go. Death is it. There's no court of appeal after death. I'm talking about the death of the soul. So this ride, he's on his last ride. Now, this is not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. I'll get to that, Lord willing, about Sunday sometime. Because, see, the church has done gone up when this happens. And when he becomes the beast, the church is done gone. Well, okay, now, Brother Dale, I agree with you on 4, 5, 6, 7, 5, 6, you know. But we're here when the first... The seal started in Genesis.
Right.
Come on, and work this way all the way down through.
Right.
They just didn't start in the first church age. It started in Genesis.
All right.
Where I've been through it with Cain and Abel and the things. The prophets told us that the seventh seal is even spoke of from Genesis as it's coming down.
Right.
And you'll see all of these things as they're taking place. Is the seal foretold? But I just don't understand, because you always, and we will read some more where the prophet says we go up in Revelation 4:1, not seen until 19:21. Well, what about Revelation 10? Well, what about it? We don't have to be over there. Well, Revelation 10, you know, says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Yeah, and that's the seventh angel is the church age messenger to Revelation 3:14.
Right.
Come on, right? Seventh church age messenger. See, it's like I've tried to tell you. John's up here seeing all this. He's writing it. He's told to send it to the church. Read chapter 1. He's told to send it to the church.
Right.
He gets over to where he's at in Revelation 10. And he's wondering, well, how in the world can I get this back to the church? And that's the key. It's why he said it. And I've checked all of the translations as much as I've got of 26 to see if there was any discrepancy part there. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. He looked right back over there and said, seventh church age, and saw that would be a prophet that would come and get the word. So he rejoices. Now everything's okay. He can write all he wants to. See, that's where people, they don't even think. Well, I tell you what, I've got a right. No, we don't have no rights. We're going to be Christians. We forfeited all of them. We have no rights. We gave up all of our rights to become Christians. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to believe what I want to believe. Well, that's good for you. Go right ahead. That's where that the people that don't get it, you've done been told over and over, you can goof off and play around and not believe it, and you're going by the grave. I'm not de-Christianizing you. Say you're lost. I'm just saying you're going by the grave. I'll get to do your funeral, or somebody will. And I may be one of them that somebody will do mine. Because it's going to take somebody to stand there and see death destroyed. Brother Moat, back about 19 and 69, I know we're on about 70 anyway. He made a statement. He said, Brother Dale, we need to find out what death is. Because the only way you can destroy it to find out what it is. You know? I mean, you come up with a disease. If they can't figure that disease out and find out what it is, they can't hope have any hopes of getting an antibiotic, you know, or an antidote or whatever to be able to conquer that. See, church, it's the day and the hour that we're living that we're wanting to go so fast. And that's what everybody in the message want. They want some new something. Every new thing that comes along, they want to grab it and run with it. Well, after a while, it just runs out. See? But somewhere there's a little bride just taking it day by day and saying, don't worry about it. You mean you're not worried, Brother Dale? Worried, yes, because of us as human beings, yeah. But worried about whether God will keep his word or not? Come on, folks. I mean, what we've seen in our day and then worry about whether God's going to keep his word? Come on, there's something wrong with your mentality, right. Let alone your revelation.
Right.
He will keep his word. He even said he would send a headstone not up on our merits,
right. But
because he promised it.
Right,
oh, but we're just going to get goody-goody and get goody-goody. We're going to goody-goody until one day we're going goody right in the rapture. Well, keep goodying all you want to. It's going to be somebody that stands on the word and will see death destroyed. And you're going to have to be able to laugh at it while it's taking and carrying you down. You know, getting old, you know what I mean? Gray hair, old age, you know. I can well remember when I had a lot darker hair and a whole lot more of it, and a lot of you had some real black hair. Huh? See, that's death. We're going to find out what death is one day. And it'll be annihilated.
Amen.
Well, I know what death is. Your heart quits beating. Your heart quits beating, that just starts you over on the other side. Right? Death is the death of the soul. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see. These seals is revealing death. But why is it doing it? By revealing life. Life is being revealed. You know, life. If you're on the internet out there, I got my Southern way, L-I-F-E. You know, I can't help it. And I ain't going to change it. Why? Because I can't go to school and learn how to talk proper. So get you a dictionary and an old Southern one. And if not, write me and I'll tell you what I mean. L-I-F-E. Life is what destroys death.
Right.
The only thing that can.
Amen.
The revealed word is the only thing that can destroy death. All right, watch as we get on into it. But what did we read there? He said, this rider rides on down. He's on his life's ride now, the beast. You know, the pale horse. And he says, now, that is not in our day. That will be on down. It's the seal foretold. Because, see, the church has done gone up when this happens. Huh? Watch him now. Paragraph 202, number 3 on your notes. The second seal, look what he says. But now in the age after the church goes home, he becomes a beast. He becomes the devil incarnate. Revelations 12, 13 through there. The red dragon himself. Oh my. Can't you see what I mean? He's incarnate in his people then. He's got his people bound by his power. The false prophet has prophesied them right into it. Give them over to strong delusions to believe a lie and be down by it. Now, what does he call believing a lie and being down by it? Denying the word with a form of godliness. Well, that's all them churches out there. They got. I wouldn't go that far. I'd stick around a little closer if I was you. Yeah. You say they're denying the word. No, they ain't even never heard it. See? But look what he says. The devil just in a type after Christ. Oh, Satan incarnates himself. A type after Christ. Not a type of Christ. Type and after Christ. Following Christ. If you look back above it and you'll see what the key of the whole thing. God works his place in the Trinity, justification, sanctification, incarnate himself in the people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When that is fully completed, we become the Word made flesh and walk off of this earth. Because of that, Satan can become the beast. Because he doesn't know how to do it now. He watches God and follows after him. He doesn't run before, he follows after him. Watch. So what does it do now? Look at the next one. And people would wonder, you know, I keep reading a lot of these things and you wonder a lot, but has it dawned on you yet? The reason we go up is we're not going to go through the tribulation. That's simple. That's plain language, isn't it? Paragraph 164, questions and answers. And 62, now watch it. 0527, 62. Now someone wrote me here not long ago and asked me, said, if you do not believe that the church goes through the tribulation period, how about Revelation 13? How they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. And they gave Brother Randall a scripture because it looks like that the church is going to have to go through to be able to be overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But remember, Israel must overcome by the blood of the Lamb, even though she's in the tribulation. What? The person asked that question. I wonder, do you realize that the first three chapters of Revelation deals with the church in the church age? That's the tribulation period. Now he's going back up here to answer this, right? That's the tribulation period, not the church age. The church raptures and goes up at the fourth chapter of Revelation, never comes back again till the 19th chapter when it comes with Jesus. That's right. That's in the tribulation period. Not nothing to do with the church at all. After we leave out of here, this thing goes into the tribulation period. Right? Okay. Go on to the next. This is the Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 36. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation reveals all the happenings unto the church. Then from the third chapter unto the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is no more seen of the church. The church goes up at the fourth chapter of Revelation and returns back at the 19th chapter of Revelation, the bride and the groom together coming to the earth. Then from that 19th chapter to the conclusion of the 22nd chapter, it's all on the millennium and what will be in the years that is to follow. During the 4th to the 19th, God is dealing with Israel. Now, is that enough? 4th to the 19th, God's dealing with Israel. Well, what about the fifth one? Remember, the fifth chapter's in heaven after the rapture while Israel is getting the tribulation. Oh, just got through preaching on it, right? Look at the next one. Paragraph 87 on the fifth seal. But the reason that he reveals that, as I understand that, it is because the mystery of the book of redemption, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, notice where is that fifth seal, right? And at the same time, the church is gone. And these things don't even happen in the church age at all. That's right. They're away from the church age. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. The church goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation and does not return until it comes back with the king in the 19th chapter. But these seals here are revealing what has been, what is, and what will be. From Genesis to Revelation. We're going to get to it in a minute where the prophet was coming back to preach on what? The trail of the serpent. The beast at the beginning and the beast at the end. It's odd the Bible called it a beast, isn't it?
Right.
It's odd he called that back in the garden the beast. Right? See, and that was to be for the church. Age was revealed by these seals. And now watch what takes it. See, the church age was revealed by the seals. But we're not there. The seals are going to Israel, right? I got the one in here where the brother around there asked him a question. This is the first seal, 1 Thessalonians. I said, yes. Then he ties it right on over to the last days. But church, are you listening? See, then that puts it to where we don't have to go through the tribulation. We're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
We get the revelation of everything. We don't have to go through the tribulation. Right. So watch what takes place. Now go ahead to number four. You notice them was 3A, B, and C. So let's take on it. Now, what's he talking about? This is back in the second seal. Now, the first, he become an Antichrist. Now, he couldn't be Antichrist only in spirit. Then he become an Antichrist, and that spirit took a man that taught the same thing that the Antichrist spirit was doing. And then he become a false prophet to the Antichrist spirit. Now, what about a man and an organization? Suit yourself. I don't know what you think about it, but all right. Can I inject one right there? That word organization can be in the people around this message. Okay. Brother Brown said, if your pastor won't stay with the word, get away from your pastor. That's his words. You need it? Of course. Busting up churches, Brother Dale. Nope. Telling it like it is. God's the one that's doing the busting. Look, now finally he becomes a beast. Now wait, we'll get into that after a while. See, all right? And if Satan's trinity lays like that, Satan all the time, that's the point I'm wanting you to get, Satan all the time, Satan, Antichrist spirit, see, Satan, Antichrist spirit incarnate, false prophet, who is that? Satan into a prophet, some people preaching the lies, and then he becomes the beast. See? When... not a demon that was in that Antichrist. Now watch it. But when Satan himself, you say, well, now what's he saying? That was a demon that was in them false prophets. The Bible tells you it is. Read what he's saying. He's saying the beast is not a demon. Come on. Satan, Antichrist spirit incarnate, false prophet, then becomes a beast. See, when not a demon that was in that Antichrist, that's not what the beast is. But when Satan himself is kicked out, he comes down and takes over the place where the demon was. Where was that? In the prophets. You remember? The other day I was talking about it. They just elected a guy over all of them, made him a pope. See? Where the devil was. The devil then, the devil is incarnate in a man. is repeating itself. All right? Let's get the next one. Now, you remember what it was said? That demon that was in that false prophet is not that beast. That beast is Satan. That demon was Satan, yes. It's one of Satan's demons. But when it comes to the beast, it's the head man.
Amen.
The beast is the devil himself, because he's kicked out of heaven, what we just read, after we get out of here. All right. So watch what he says, paragraph 105, fourth seal. Now, when the Lamb had opened the fourth seal, let's stop there now, the fourth seal. Now, who opened it? The Lamb. Was anybody else worthy? No one else could do it. No. The Lamb opened the fourth seal. Now, get the point, and you'll separate the eagle from the Lamb. The Lamb opened the fourth seal. Go ahead. You remember in the third seal, it was not the combat beast of the third combat beast that said, a measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley, touch not the oil and wine. That was the Lamb himself, you remember? Sunday? All right. Read what your prophet said. The Lamb opened the fourth seal, and the fourth beast, the living creature like an eagle, and there's your key, said to John, come and see what the fourth mystery is. Are you reading that?
All right. Amen.
Are you reading where I got my finger? Can you see it from over there? I hope they can see it. He's not talking about the devil. The plan of redemption is not redeeming the devil.
Right.
He's not being revealed. He's being exposed.
Right.
Watch it. Come see what the fourth mystery of the plan of redemption has been hid in this book. Now, if you just go with a beast and you go, you know, what have you got? What is the fourth mystery? Come on. I'm just asking a simple question because of what he said. What is the fourth mystery?
Amen.
Of the plan of redemption. Come on, church. Was you listening a while ago? If we can ever find out how to destroy death, it's going to take the fourth mystery to do it. And it can only come by the eagle. None of the other ages could call him death.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute, or we'll get to it Sunday one. The living creature like an eagle said to John, come see what the fourth mystery of the plan of redemption has been hid in this book. Because the Lamb was opening it. In other words, that's what he was saying. There's a fourth mystery here. That's what the combat beast is telling us. The Lamb is opening it, bringing it down. There's a fourth mystery here. I've showed you in symbol. Well, you just see a symbol of a pale horse. But remember, in them symbols, there's a lot of difference in what you think. Go into the opposition of those symbols, which we haven't done, which we will do probably in the next week or something. We'll just preach a message of all the way through up to where we are and take both sides. But we've been just dealing up until this message, dealing with basically speaking about the Antichrist, false prophet, Pope, etc. Exposing him. But take the symbols of the horse. In other words, that's what he was saying. There's a fourth mystery here. I've showed you in symbol. Now, John, I don't know whether you've understood it or not, but he wrote down what he saw. But it was a mystery. So he wrote what he saw. The Lamb was breaking the seals, and God still wasn't going to reveal it. It was left for the last days. He was not going to reveal these seals until this day. The last combat. Because that's basically what you're doing. Your mind, I know it because mine done that until the Lord began to break it away and help me to see it. You're just looking at seals like a white horse and just finding out what that is. And you get all your symbols and you get that down and you say, well, we got it. And then you get a red horse and you say, well, that's what we see, the red horse and all the symbols and we got it. Then you get a black one and you just see the symbols and, well, we got it. Now we've come to a secret mystery under the fourth one. To see that it's revealing Jesus Christ. There's a statement Brother Branham made one day, and I've been looking. I know I found one, but it's close. But he said, we've talked enough about him. What? The devil. We've talked enough about the devil. Do you know that the people of this message, and I know I'm getting off of the message and getting down to meddling, but the people of this message are glorifying the devil? That's what I'm trying to expose.
That's right.
Glorifying the devil? Come on, folks. Wake up. There's some sitting here that know I know what I'm fixing to say and won't say much. But you go join up with a certain group. And they'll tell, they first started out that it had to be a one supreme being. Now it's only dealing with a supreme being. And after you go so far, it turns from looking at things to magic. And you wind up worshiping the devil as your worshipful master. Okay? But you see how easy and deceiving it is? We had one brother that when I, and I'm not against all of that, I don't talk about those things. We had one brother and he come to me and he said, they lied to me. I said, I didn't beat on him and hammer about it. There's some sitting here, I've never said a word to you. But he come, he said, they lied to me. I said, okay, you found it out. You found it out. Truth sets you free. Okay. But remember, the Lamb opened the fourth seal and the fourth living creature like an eagle. Now you've got an opportunity to be able to see the plan of redemption. Not that it wasn't there on the others, but they were not dealing with that. They were dealing with the spirit of the age, which was to sacrifice and to hang on and do the best they could and to live for Jesus Christ, even though they died just for saying they were Christians. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. But you see, waiting a time that we could understand. The prophet, I believe Brother Richard Wilson was last night, waiting for a time that it could be comprehended. You know, there was no need of God opening this in the first church age. There was no need of opening it in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. There was no need of it. Because we couldn't comprehend. We're having trouble now. Because of the carnality of our mind that we want to keep rolling back. But Brother Dale, I believe the seals were for the bride. I got quote, quote, quote. Yeah. But are you going to deny the quotes where it says they're to Israel? And you're going to be in bad shape to think that we're going to be there when the fourth seal opens in Armageddon. In terrible shape to think we're going to be there in the tribulation period. No, we don't want to believe that, but we just don't believe what you're talking about. I thought I was reading it. Did I lose something somewhere? I mean, that's why I have page after page. I thought I was reading it. I thought I was reading what the prophet said. Yeah, but you're just putting it together. That's what a brother told me one time. He said, you ain't nothing but a good Baptist. He said, all you can do is just put the word together in the letter. I just grinned. That didn't bother me at all. I said, why'd you change your mind? He said, brother, I didn't think you had anything other than a new birth and was nothing, but this was his words. He said, when God spoke to you about that manifestation of spirits, I knew then what was right. Okay. Because that's what people think when they get over in Romans, you know, in the days of the manifestation of sons of God. They think manifest goes out and call for rain and call for this and call for that. That's wonderful. But what about where it says making known? Manifest is to make known. Your prophet came to make these things known. That's why he was an eagle. A wonderful position. I hope we get down far enough to be able to cover it. Look at the next one, paragraph 158. Now remember, when we just read, said it was a mystery. The fourth seal is a mystery. But then there's a mystery of redemption. Because there was a mystery about the fourth seal that was deals to do, you know, it's exposing the devil. Now look at it. And when we find out his mystery here in his church and state, the fourth stage of his ministry, he's called the beast. First he's called the Antichrist, then he's called false prophet, and he's called the beast. Now we find him here being called as the beast. Now I want you to notice that after the fourth horse, and then this fourth, that's after the fourth horse. And in this fourth horse, if you'll notice all, the first one was white, and then the next one was red, the next one was black, and the fourth one. All of these other three were represented in it. That's what makes it pale, see? Because pale is red and white, and so mixed together, see, he's all mixed in this one horse. And there he becomes four, or actually the three in one. It was all mixed up in that one thing, mixing it. Now we're going to read in a second what he mixes. His three powers, heaven, earth, purgatory. Heaven, earth, and purgatory. When he gets them mixed together, it's going to bring death. But we'll find out it was death all along, you know. But now what's his other three? Political power, religious power, and demon power.
Right.
When you mix them together, what have you got? Death.
Amen.
Right? Pale horse. Okay, go ahead to the next. 136. This is off the power of transformation. Preached in 1965, 10:31 in the morning. When I go home this time, I'm preaching on the subject, the trail of the serpent, the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end, and trail him right through the Bible and show how he heads up. See? You all get that on the telephone. So if the Lord permits it, he's going to come and do it. The cunning of this fellow Well, now beast at the beginning, beast at the end. Well, they're just like Judas and Jesus. They're both brothers in their tribe. Just like Esau and Jacob. You know, and the crow and the dove sitting on the same roost. And everything is a twin in this great warfare that we're in. Look at the next one. Trying to do God a service without his will. That being God's will. Paragraph 87. I'm preaching. I wouldn't preach it in Brother Jack's church. He'd tell me, go ahead and do it. But I'm going to the tabernacle. It'll be about 4 hours long, and my subject is the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end, through the trail of a serpent. See? Takes about 4 hours. I got my scriptures all laid out. The beast from the beginning, he was the beast at the Garden of Eden. He's the beast at the end. And show how he's a religious person and a denomination that made the denomination and come right through the trail of it and prove it to you by the scripture that it is. I didn't know that till the Holy Spirit gave it to me the other day up there. That's one of the things of people who believe in the return ministry believe Brother Brown's got to come back and preach the trail of the serpent. That's one of their thinkings. That's fine. That's all right. I have no problem. I done told you where I stand. But listen, you mix up all them colors. Go to the next. Now we're back on the fourth seal. Paragraph 195. When Christ appears here on earth, as his fellow appears and becomes completely the devil, from the Antichrist all the way down to false prophet, and into the beast, the devil himself, and he's riding on a pale horse, colored all up and mixed with all kind of colors to make him pale and deadly. All right. Pale and deadly. Go on to the next one. Paragraph 197, the fourth seal. Notice the Antichrist was on a pale horse, mixed color. Horse is a beast that represents the power. His power is all mixed up. Why? It's political. It's national powers. It's religious powers. It's demon powers. Look at it. It's all kind of powers mixed together. A mixed pale horse was... He just got all kind of powers. You remember what I was showing you? That he couldn't be, when he was an Antichrist, just spirit. He didn't have a crown. He had to wait and become a pope. Well, there had to be a pope that connected the government together. So Constantine brought the government in. And that's why they could get by with killing 68 million. Because the government okayed it. All right? But when Jesus comes, it's on a one-colored, solid-colored horse. The word. I'd watch that in a minute if we get the time. This one mixes the colors of red, white, black. Three colors in one, represented in one, and three powers represented in one. A white horse, a black horse, a red horse, and three crowns in one. Triple ruling crown over heaven, earth, and purgatory, right? Come on. Look at the next then. This is paragraph 310. Four seal. Now here they're joining themselves together, coming to that showdown to Armageddon. I'm not going to touch Armageddon tonight, period. So don't get your thought running into Armageddon. We're coming up to that place. We will do with that Sunday sometime. Or some Sunday. The showdown to Armageddon and riding on a mixed colored horse. With one horse of white, one horse of red, one horse of black. The three different political power, spiritual power controlled by demon powers, which is the Antichrist, mixing that all together, you got a pale, sickly looking thing he's riding on. Now, here is where our fear comes in and makes us think the wrong thing. The Bible speaks of the devil as a man laying in a ditch with no power. He's like a drunk just laying in a ditch. The Bible describes him that. We'll get back to Scripture if you need it. But see, we're afraid of him. We're afraid that he may be powerful more than we think. Why would you be afraid of him? Yeah, but look what he's done to people.
I agree.
But you know yourself, most of it is because people volunteered. Right? Would you take the governments and the things like we've got them today, and the government can control everything, you're right back to the same situation where they can kill you and they just erase your name right now from all records by just a blot of your name and goes off the computer and you no longer exist and you'll not be able to buy or sell. That's never been until now. Never been that the mark of the beast could be made manifest until now. Those are not jabbers, those are facts. They can take your name off a record right now and you no longer exist. You can go in and holler and scream all you want to. You don't exist. Look at him. Sickly looking thing he's riding on. Sure don't look like a powerful horse, does it? So you're looking at it as thinking it's some kind of a great powerful horse. It's demon power, political power. Spiritual powers, demon powers. That's where our trouble is. We're looking at them like they have a power. The way you're talking, they're going to get you, Brother Dale. They won't get me until God's through with me. That goes out there for them to listen to as well as anything. Until God gets through with me. And if he ain't through with me, I got a lot of scripture to stand on. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. No. I think it's wise to be sensible. You know, okay. Sickly looking thing he's riding on. Why? Why would it get up here where you got the white? As a great, powerful deceptive. You got the red that they could kill by the millions. You got the black that represents your dark ages. That Brother Branham said, no telling how many billion was killed spiritually. Right? Why would it now show him as a pale, sickly? Oh, that's just the way it looks. I'm glad you said that. That's what I'm talking about. The symbol of that seal is a sickly situation that you and I should not have any fear of. Yeah, but look what they can do. They can't do nothing until God gets through with me. I ain't worried about that at all. Why would it call him a pale horse? Because now he's come down and looked like he's got everything in the world under his control, right? Political powers, even to their heaven, earth, and purgatories that he's ruler over. He can pray them out of hell or pray them out of purgatory. He can do all kind of things. Got the government behind him and all the political maneuvers. Right. And God says, by the eagle. Do you hear me? God said, by the eagle, come and see. He's going to show you what this stuff is. And how it's going to wind up and be destroyed. Instead of Satan gaining power, you think he's got everything in control. He's got the governments, he's got the religious, he's got everything in his control. What does that matter? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of, church? I'm serious. A sickly, pale-looking horse. By the eagle that says he has no power. By the eagle that tells you what he is. The eagle combat. Skip the next one. Go to number 12. Got to cut out a little. Just go to 12. Click it over. Questions and answers on the seal, 63, 324, morning service, paragraph 199. Brother Branham, does the first horse rider, now listen to him real careful, fulfill 2 Thessalonians, the revelation of the man of sin? Yes. That's right. That does. That easy. That does. That's the man of sin. This same man just keeps in stages riding on until he gets on a pale horse that's called death. Christ comes down through justification, sanctification to the white horse. And that's to get life. But are you listening now? He went from seal 1 to 4. Right there in a statement. From one seal, first seal, to the fourth seal, all together in that one statement. That's why the toast seals are not to you and I. When that man of sin sits in the temple of God to be as God, that is the beast, which is Satan incarnate. That's when Satan has been cast out, because we go up. And he will be here as the devil incarnate. And he's called death. We'll jump these and go on. Hang on just a minute and I'll give you which number. But on paragraph 155, he said he was Antichrist. He said he was death to begin with. He's death to begin with. Go to number 14. Paragraph 182, the fourth seal. Now we find out here that this is Satan after being kicked out of heaven. You're going to see why he's sickly. He thinks he's got everything under his control. But he's fixing to be defeated. You know why? Because if we done gone up, he's already defeated. Right. We're going to defeat him here. Right. Not in a physical battle. Right. That's where people, ever since I've been in this message, ministers sat right here, and we was having a minister meeting one day, said, but I always thought we'd come back with him and fight on that Revelation 19. I said, fight? You mean we are supernatural, eternal beings to fight natural people? He just, you know, he didn't say no more. Listen, church, if we don't defeat the devil, Israel don't have an opportunity. But it's a revealed word that's going to make it. All right, here we go. Beast. Now he is a beast. Antichrist, false prophet, and now beast, and given the name of death, and hell follows him. Fully Satan, only strong. Now that's after the rapture. All right? That we go up, because he's kicked out. You remember? He's kicked out because we're, on the earth. He's Satan representative on the earth. Now he is head of the kingdoms of the world. The very same kingdoms that he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4, Satan now becomes a full king. Now this happens later on. He's false prophet now. He will become beast after a while when he breaks his covenant there with the Jews. You know, how we've been through that. Now, there's how you understand you Daniel 70 weeks. He breaks his covenant with Israel. Go on to the next one. Paragraph 192. Notice Satan fully on his throne. Yes, sir. Offered it to God. You're talking about the world and things. Offered it to our Lord. He is sitting here with this beastly heart in him. There's Satan incarnate, the devil, in a man to become incarnate. He's got a beastly heart. Don't get into that. Was his heart over here? Was his heart over there? Was it down here? He's got a beastly heart. Not a thumping gizzard. Now here is the person, the beast, the incarnate devil. He makes his appearing here on earth under the false pretense. Oh my goodness, under the false pretense of the true word. Uh-oh. He associates himself with the word. Are you reading?
Amen.
When he's cast out, he don't come down and say, I'm the devil. No, there's 3.5 years of tribulation. And then he breaks his covenant with Israel at the end of 3.5 years. Until that time, he's the good old boy that, according to the book of Daniel, that makes craft to prosper, makes all of the things, that he comes in like flattery. He's a wonderful Superman guy. Under the false pretense, what? Of the true word?
Right.
In other words, he's telling you he's got the word. He's the one that's in charge. He associates himself with the word. And he can call fire down out of heaven. Is that right? Is that the book of Revelation?
Right.
He can do things. Why? Because he's Satan incarnate.
Amen.
Well, see, the little bride's done gone.
Amen.
Like Wade was saying the other day on the Daniel 70 weeks then. See, the only people battling him is not the natural Jew. They're in a covenant with him.
Right.
The only ones that's battling him is 144,000 when they're telling him that ain't right.
Right.
And this boy over here is saying, get even, get rid of him. Yeah. Get all, take care of that.
Yeah.
You know what they do? They take care of that.
Sure.
They kill him. Then they find out they done wrong. It's going to be chaos of the natural Israel.
Right.
Okay. So what is death? Let's go on a little further. Let me just get this and we'll quit off right here. If I go any further, we're going too far. Paragraph 210, watch. Christ, first coming. He comes a mortal to bleed and die. Is that right? That's his first coming. The second coming is the rapture. We meet it in disguise, immortal. His third coming, he's the incarnate God. Amen. God Emmanuel to reign on earth. That's right. Only three. Okay. So Satan is following after him becoming incarnate in you and I for a rapture to come. Then he follows with the beast being incarnate and saying he's God. Right? But you see, we done gone. Fourth stage of the rider. Fourth stage of this rider is called death. Death means eternal separation from God. That's what death means, to be eternally separated. That's what God calls him. And I'll just fold that over, and we'll start up right there Sunday. We know the combat beast, the eagle, is the one that called him death. But what is death? If we take into account the last two things we were reading of how that God becomes incarnate in the people, in the Word, and that Satan becomes incarnate in his people after we get out of here, then we should consider one thing. I'll review this Sunday. But why does it say in Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8, verse 8. It doesn't say his name is death. It said it was death. Brother Branham said his name is death. Now, I want to end in just a minute on something. He said, but Brother Dale, death is not a name. Well, the Bible says it is. The prophet says it is. I don't care what your English vocabulary thinks about it. But I'll remind you in your English vocabulary that a noun... I'm real good at English, I know it. But I do know how to read. A noun is a name of a person, place, or what, or thing. So death is a thing. It's not a person. It's not a place. It's a thing. You see, we look at it and we want names laid upon things. According to Revelation 19, that writer has a name on him, which is the Word of God. You waking up? Brother Brown said, that is Jesus. I got all that down. We know that. We know he's the Word. But just remember, he's just as much God when it says Jesus. He's just as much God when it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Brother Brown said, translate that. Now, this is his wording. He said, in the beginning was Elohim. He said, Elohim was with God, and Elohim was God, and Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, Elohim then is a name. The Word. Forgive me. The Word is a thing. Now you really stepped over. Because the Word is a person. And it was placed before the foundation of the world. Become a thing. Oh, ain't you ashamed to call the Word a thing? I remember a brother years ago, we were talking about something, and though the Bible calls the Holy Ghost an it, you know that? You want me to get the scripture? The Bible calls the Holy Ghost an it. And he didn't like that translation whatsoever. He was dogmatic against that part of saying the Holy Ghost was an it. I didn't ever have no problem with it. I didn't have enough education to figure it out. I just read it and said it's an it. And I knew what that it was. Don't you? I was laying there in the bed this morning thinking, now Brother Brown said, a theologian will turn to his theology every time. And you have people in this message that are turning, and I know one did, because he said he did, that he relied upon a theologian to help him understand. I do too. He's one called the Holy Spirit. And he had a man to bring it down called William Branham to bring it unto me. So if you can see that death is a thing, that's a name then. And if you can see that, then you can see the Word is a person. It's Jesus Christ. You don't have to rewrite the Bible. You just understand the mechanical side of it. We'll get to it Sunday. It took the eagle to name it death. The others looked at it as a deceptive form of different things and couldn't follow it true. As even John on Patmos admired that church. Till he found that all that was in her was death. Death is not dying. You know, hearts quit beating. Oh, they're dead. Oh, that soul lives on. No matter whether you're a sinner or saint, that soul lives on until a time, because only God can kill a soul. Satan kill one. He can blow you to pieces, Brother Ray, but he can't kill you. He just puts you on the other side. Death is a name. It's a personification of Satan. Because the Word is a person, which is a personification of Almighty God. Come ahead, brothers. Think on these things. Sickly, pale horse. Oh, it reads there that he had power to do this and that. Sure, because he had all the governments and everything in the world behind him. But he's got no power over the bride of Jesus Christ. I remember drawing out for some brothers one time at a meeting we were having. And we were talking about how that it gets over to the end and what happens with Israel. And I asked the question of who was fighting. And by the quotes of the prophet and the scriptures, I took out of position everybody. Even the two witnesses are killed before Armageddon. Well, who's fighting? Well, that's where everybody was. Boy, bless God, we'll come back riding on them horses, and we're just going to sword people. We're just going to kill. We're just going to cut people. You can see what kind of a demon spirit they got. A supernatural person sitting on a supernatural horse to battle natural people with an army tank. All you got to go, and it's gone. But when I drawed it out, and you know what's left? The last was two witnesses left standing on the earth. And I said, but the Bible says they're killed. Now who's going to fight it then, brother? The Bible says, out of the mouth of those two prophets will come the Word of God that will annihilate the enemy. It'll be the Word that will destroy Satan. There ain't going to be no physical battle. That's why when everybody read the Bible, said Michael, Revelation 12, Michael and all fought in heaven, and they throwed him out like Michael and Jesus were just slugging it out. Boy, they just fighting Gabriel, whatever. There wasn't no battle to it. There wasn't no battle in heaven like a physical force. Satan just brought his powers up, and Jesus standing there as Michael. Because that's where Satan could never understand him. And he says, get out of here. You have no more right here. There wasn't no physical fighting. There's no fighting now.
Amen.
Christ is in charge.
Amen.
As long as he's in charge, what are we afraid of?
Amen.
What enemy could destroy us? Why can't we at least be like Israel? There right now we're standing the whole world, and we Americans are pity-patting around trying to sit some way in the world to keep them from, and keep giving away their land and talking them into it. To try to have peace. And they say, give us, we'll blow the whole thing up. They can take it all down. They're sitting on the center of the earth. Why would they say we have the Samson effect? You're afraid of their bombs? What would be the Samson effect? What if they know exactly where they're sitting? And they know to put off a bomb under the earth right there will bring the whole thing to total annihilation. Remember, the pyramid of Egypt, Cheops, is sitting in the center of the earth. Come on, church, what are we afraid of? That's all I'm trying to get you to look at. We're looking at a pale, we look at a red, we look at it, we see the power they had. But now, look at this. You say, but it's got all the powers. But what good is those powers? We preached back there that Satan has no power, only what God permits him to use. Are you afraid of any country or any thing? Why? Well, Brother Dale, I'm afraid of dying. Well, then you need to be saved. That's the best way to get rid of the fear of dying. Let's stand together. It's to get born again. Let him be on our side. Michael on our side, we don't have to worry about nothing, do we? He'll take care of it. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Let's sing and worship and think about him, of what he's doing for us.
Amen. 97.
Right. Even the symbol of the seal is not a powerful looking something. It's a weak, sickly. Prophet didn't lose it. Leave it just as mixings. The Bible tells you it's sickly looking. He's defeated. Sure, we got a battle of Armageddon, but it's a spiritual battle. It's going on now. We'll get down to that. We'll see death destroyed. Somebody is. And why can't we be? What do we got?
97. Lord Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Anybody have a need?
The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul.
Talk to Mandy tonight.
Satisfy your soul.
Most of you know that Brother Donnie and him's been taking care of Mandy's kids and things. And, you know, we've been praying, hoping they would work out things and maybe that Ricky could get straightened out and do things. And it don't look like it's working out. Now, get to the place that they can go to court now and the children can be theirs. And maybe they'll get them totally free. I mean, they will. If it not, they wouldn't fool with it. They can get everything free. But still, it's something to think about when you got to take three children and raise them. Everything is your own. So they just want us to pray that God will work out everything for perfect will. For what he wants. They're willing to do their part. It may mean a lot of things. But I just wonder, what would we all do? When you're faced with a thing of knowing that the children don't have a hope whatsoever nowhere else, what are you going to do? Well, let's all pray. Let's all believe, just like we would dedicate a baby that we have. Let's say this whole church is dedicated now to raise that baby, you know, give a life before it and things. Well, let's just put this into the hands of the Lord and believe that God will work it all out for his honor and glory. And that whatever comes out of it, it'll be his honor. It'll be his doings because we're going to believe it that way. And everything. So they're willing to give up the children, give them full control. So that's, as long as they'll do that. That I wouldn't go no other way hardly, but you still couldn't close your home to a child and not take care of it. And those little kids are wonderful little kids. You know. Let's just pray, all right? Lord Jesus, as a church of the living God, we come before you this night with heavy hearts in many ways, because we know and realize these children have no hope without Johnny and Susan. But knowing also, Lord, that taking on a family and raising it's a lot of burdens and heartaches. But we know that it can all be wonderful if we just leave it in your hands and let you take care of it. And Lord, you just touch the children and touch Donnie and Susan and everything, Lord. And you work out everything. There'll be a lot of financial things in it, raising kids. And Lord, just help. Bless and take care of everything. But just help Brother Donnie and Sister Susan to have the right attitude in their hearts, that whatever comes of this will come for your honor and glory. And all be made manifest for you, Lord. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to believe everything will be all right. It'll all be worked out. All right. Anybody else that would just have a need before we go? Go ahead, brother.
Get a prayer block for my sister.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon.
Maybe even more. Let's believe and just accept for our sister, okay? With the dream. Lord Jesus, we send this prayer cloud, our brother, sister, that all will be well, that everything be taken care of. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? See the King when he comes. I said I had to get me some prayer cloths because my billfold's empty. I give them all away to people needed. one today and didn't have one, I'm going to put them back in my billfold.
We need comfort.
Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth to Brother Jonathan there. That you come on the scene. You'd wipe out all the fears and the heartaches and the troubles and the problems. We believe you, Father. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? See the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Sister June has hurt her shoulder and things that bothered her. Let's believe. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our sister, believing that by your stripes, she's healed. Upon the basis of what we've talked about tonight, of this old sickly-looking, pale thing that exists, that we challenge it upon the name of Jesus Christ. We condemn this sickness that's in our sister's body that's causing this hurting of the bones and the things and the trouble of the muscles. We count it done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anybody else? We shall see the King.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming.
The restaurant that I've been working at.
One more time before we go. We shall see the King.
We shall Jacob see and Ashley. The King.
We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send these prayer cloths to Jacob and Ashley. That you work out this thing through the wedding and everything, and that you'll bring them unto us, Lord, because we believe you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Go away. Satan starts out as a bluff. It's a bluff. The people give him their power. But the end time has shown that he's stripped. He's weak. The world knows it's falling apart. There's no political machine can handle this thing now. It's all going down. Because it's sick. Death follows. 7 billion people in the world. But yet death is going to take everything but the bride of Jesus Christ.
To crown your Savior, King,
Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon be for you fall. We shall see the King when He comes. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that you would just bless and take care of us. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. And let your love and grace be with each. We love you and we thank you. Jesus' name. Amen. You did this. Pray one for another.